So we said that every text that came from ancient India was translated into Chinese or Tibetan. There was a, they put the Sanskrit title, and they put the Tibetan title also. In Tibetan, it's called Ge Shenjar. I think you have it up at the top there. Say Ge.
Ge.
Shenjar.
Shenjar.
Start dictionary entry for Shenjar. Shen, Shalo, Shen. Sabatabayataja Rajar Shenjar. Shansbyar. It's a very specific idiom, a difficult idiom in Tibetan. And it means to present anything in a parallel format. Okay, so Shenjar means you give the English for something, and if you put the Tibetan for it or the Chinese for it, if you put it English Tibetan or English Chinese, English Chinese, English Chinese, as we do where? In the 20,000 pages of courses, which Google's very excited about, then that's called Shenjar. Okay, it's I don't know, how would you call that, a bilingual or something like that, or comparative, the two languages opposite each other. So there's a specific word in Tibetan called Shenjar. Say Shen.
Shenjar.
Shenjar.
Shenjar. Shenjar.
Okay, good. Jar means to apply. Shen means side to side. Okay, so Shenjar means to apply side to side. Okay. So that's a stop dictionary entry. We're doing a video dictionary on YouTube. So we'll have, 50,000 words. And every time I come to an unusual word, I explain it. They put it up on YouTube for free, and millions of people can use it around the world. So we started, Adam's working on it already. You can already see a lot of words there. Okay. We'll continue for 10 more years or something. Okay. Hey, Shenjar, why would we put the Sanskrit, why do we keep a single sentence of Sanskrit there in the book at the beginning? Okay. It's meant that people can understand that this book came from Pak Yu. Say Pak Yu.
Pak Yu.
Start dictionary entry. Pak Yu. Ao Pagasa Pak. Yarshak Yula Yu, Pak Yu, apostrophe Phagsyul. Pak Yu is an abbreviation of Papa Yu. Papa means an Arya, meaning someone who has seen Kongxing directly, is called Papa. And very rare in the world is Papa. And then Yu means country. In Sanskrit, it's Desha. So Arya Desha. Like Bangladesh means the country of the Bengalis, it's called Bangladesh. Okay, so Desh means a country. Okay, so Arya Desha is the land of the Aryas. And for Buddhists, I mean, for Israelis and Christians and Muslims also, right? The holy city is like Jerusalem or something, you know, or it's one of the holy cities, the holy land. Right? For Buddhists, India is the holy land. Okay? You can call holy land. And the holy land is India, because this is where Lord Buddha lived. This is where Lord Buddha started the teaching. Okay? So we call India the holy land, or the land of the Aryas. So it's important to put the Sanskrit at the beginning of the book so people know that it came from the holy land. Okay? And that's the first reason why the translator leaves a single line of the original text in Sanskrit, which is the title. Okay. Pak Kepa means wise person. Sung Yinpa Shepa means we want you to realize the moment you open the book that it came from the Holy Land. Dung, and there's a second reason. Legja Kike. Say lecture.
Lecture.
Begin dictionary entry. Nak Jar Kike, La de Malega Salek, Sabata Paya Taja, Rajar, Kaya the Kyagi Kuki, Ki, Sakata Katake, LEGS, SBYAR, GYI, SKAD. Gay means language, okay? The word gay means language. Lap jar means well put together, okay? Well put together or well made. The leg in Sanskrit language is sam, okay? Sam. The jar is kar, meaning to do or to make. And so we have sun and kar. The past tense of kar is karta. Say karta.
Karta.
In Sanskrit composition, when an M or an N bumps into an S, sorry, a K, you are required to add an S between them. So lekjar is Sanskrita.
Sanskrit.
Sanskrit. Sanskrit. Okay, say Sanskrita.
Sanskrita.
Sanskrita. A well-made language because it's perfect. Sanskrit is perfect. All Buddhas speak Sanskrit. When you become a Buddha, you will speak Sanskrit. And it's a perfect language. It really is a perfect language. Linguistically, it's sexy. It's unbelievable. If you really study Sanskrit, it's what we call a generational language, meaning if you plug the rules into a computer and the 800 roots of Sanskrit into a computer, you can generate the Sanskrit language perfectly. Because it's a perfect language. It was perfectly standardized. And very, very precise. Okay? 64 verb tenses. I mean, and the declensions of nouns, not just singular and plural, but also dual. So a whole set of extra words, you see, to make it more precise. So Sanskrit is the perfect language. Say lekjar.
Lekjar.
Ki.
Ki.
Ke.
Okay.
The well-made language. Okay. Sanskrita. Okay? Sanskrit. I got it? And I won't brag on where the crit came from, but from the same place as Drishti and things like Krishna and never mind. And dictionary entry. Now you know the next word. Pachat. Say Pachat. Mental seed. Jongzi. Okay, that's the big word. In Sanskrit, vasana, okay? Or sanskara, vasana. It means jongzi in Chinese language, right? I probably pronounce it wrong, the tone. But how do you say it? What's the correct tone? Jongzi. Okay. It means mental seed. So for us, for all of us, especially Mr. Wu, see, sometimes in China he calls himself Mr. C. People ask him, what's your name? He doesn't say Eric Wu, he says, I'm Mr. C. Mr. Mental C. So now you can say Bak Chang, Mr. Bak Chang. Okay? Bak Chang means mental C. And yesterday he gave us a beautiful teaching on C. Thank you. So this is the Tibetan Bak Chang. Jokpa means to plant in your head. Okay, jokpa. Che means it is for the purpose of what? Mentioning the Sanskrit in the first line, retaining a single line from the ancient book is to make you aware that the book came from the Holy Land and
to plant
a seed in your mind so that you can speak Sanskrit later when you become a Buddha. Okay, got it? Alright, and of course you guys know, and I'm not going to talk about it, it's believed that the Sanskrit sounds come from the inner body, from the chi. The sounds of Sanskrit come from the chi in the inner body, from the prana and from the chakras. Okay. All right, Nipa Gyurpi Chakra. Now the translator is going to bow down, make a bow, okay, take a bow. Bow to somebody? Gyurpi Chak. Okay, Chak here means it's short for
Chaksel.
Okay. The word namas, 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 namaste means all those yoga teachers say namaste, right? And it means I bow down to you. Namaste means I bow down to you. It's related to the word name, and it means I honor your name. But the Tibetan is Chaksao, and I've explained it to you before. Star Dictionary Entry. Did we do this yet? We did it already? Star Dictionary Entry for the word Chaksao. The word Chaksao, which is the translation of the word Namaste, bow down. And you can sometimes translate as Namaste, meaning I bow down to you. Chaktel is an idiom. Chak means hand, and it's the honorific word for hand. So you're a teacher, you don't call their hand Lakpa, you call it Chak. So Chak is the honor, high word for a person's hand. Tsel means to seek, not sell, tsel. Okay, tsel means to look for something or to seek for something. So why is bowing down called seeking the hand? Why? Yeah, it means your teacher has something precious, like a diamond in their hand. And then you seek a boon from their hand. Like, if you bow down, bowing down means, please share with me what you have. Please share with me what you have. So the word for bowing down in Tibetan is to seek something from the hand, from the holy hand of your teacher. Okay? So we say, Chak Tsawa. Okay, so he's bowed. So the translator is going to bow down. Why? Weishima. I told you. I mean, it was yesterday, but it's pretty long ago. Why does the translator bow down?
Describe the lineage.
It identifies the subject matter of the book. Okay. Who they bow down to informs the reader of what the subject matter of the book is, because there was a decree, a king in Tibet made a rule. It's just convenient. You flip the first page open and you know, is this going to be a book about emptiness or not? If they bow down to Huan Yin and you want a book about emptiness, what should you do? Close it, go find another one. Okay, go find a book that's bowing down to Manjushri. Like that, okay? So from the prostration of the translator, it was meant to identify the general subject matter of the book. It doesn't mean that compassion isn't taught in Madhyamaka Avatara, but the main subject is emptiness. Okay, like that. So, Nyingpa Gyurkyi Chakma, to discuss the translator's obeisance, we are going to have two parts. Shung Gopa means, I will give you the actual text. I will give you the actual line from the Abhidhamma Kosha. And then, second, Tern Shepa means, I will explain the meaning of the prostration. Who's making the prostration? The Tibetan translator. And we talked about that yesterday. There's a city in China called Xi'an, which I hope to see, because I want to see the tower there. There's a tower there where they translated everything. I just want to go and put my head on that tower. You know? So, Dön Shepa means, let's explain the prostration of the translator. Tamboni. Then the prostration is, say, Jambel, Shimmer, Kyurpala, Chatsalo, Champa. I bow down to Jambel Shunyu. Okay, Jambel Manjushri. Okay, gentle voice, glorious gentle voice. Okay, Manju. Here is glorious gentle voice. Okay, glorious. Bell is a Shri. Okay. And it's often used nowadays as an honorific in Sanskrit or in Hindi to refer to a high master like Sri Patavi Joyce, okay? So Sri means glorious one. So oftentimes they'll put the word Sri on people's names, okay? But it conveys the sense of a burning brilliance, incandescence, a glorious burning. And that's why my teacher ordained a nun and called her Palma. How she's fiery. Okay. When he ordained her, he called her. It means fiery lady. I don't know why he did this. So she's back there. She's very hot. How many years ago? 20 years ago. 18 years. 23, I think.
She was ordained right after me.
23 years. You missed a few years because you were on retreat. Japa Shunu means young, okay? Shunu means young, okay? There's a joke about it, I'm not going to tell you. It'll take 50 years to teach this. Shunur, the ur means to Manjushri in the form of a youth. In the form of a youth. Chatsalo, I bow down to you. So if you bow down to, if the translator decided to bow down to Manjushri at the beginning of the book, the Abhidharma Kosha must be about
wisdom.
Say Kongxing.
Kongxing.
Is that correct? Kongxing. You should learn, it's like the most beautiful word in Chinese language. Kongxing.
Kongxing.
You know, I think it's related to Tibetan language because Tibetan, Kong Kong means empty, Kong Kong, or concavity. So Kong Xin means emptiness. You should learn the word, especially if you're going to go like DCI. I bow down to Manjushri in the form of a youth. Okay, now we'll get the meaning. Okay, Nipa Ni, Shijia Chi Chen. Again, we have it in the form of a debate, okay? This teacher, this lama, whose name is Chogyam Lama, he likes to present things as a debate. So he's going to say, da-da-da-da-da-da, what's he going to do with his right hand? Not like this, okay? It's like a cobra. Let's consider everything in the universe. Okay? He's starting an argument. Let's consider the whole universe. Yul Kangla Chaksawa, the object to which you will prostrate, La Gaba Yate. There's a reason why they prostrated to the one they did. There's a reason why they, there was a purpose. Gopa means purpose, okay? You think? Because, and this is a classical poetic device. You say, because there's a person who is, first of all, Jam. Say Jam.
Jam.
Why are they Jam? That's the Jam and Jampayam, okay? Why are they Jam, which means soft? This is the jam. If the cloth is old, it means jam. Or velvet is jam. Or silk is jam. Okay. Then sandpaper or my skin. My nickname in the monastery. I'll tell you my nickname in the monastery. Say Shini Papa.
Shini Papa.
Mr. Tree Bar. That's the nice nickname. I'm not telling you that. But it means, this is called tsuk, say tsubo. Tsubo means rough like sandpaper, okay? And jumbo means soft like a silk, okay? So he says, I'll tell you why we chose the person that we're choosing to make the prostration to, which is who? Jampen Yang, because there's someone who is jam. They are smooth. Like if you shave with a good razor, there's someone who is smooth. Why are they smooth? Because sup rectang chawa, they don't have that sandpaper feeling. Okay, chawa means divorced from that sandpaper feeling of what? Dipni, dipani, dipani. Yeah, the two obstacles. Okay, say jipa.
Jipa.
Jipa-ni. So there are two great obstacles in Buddhist. In all of Buddhism, there are two great obstacles. What's the first one?
Say
Nyamongki.
Jipa.
The obstacles caused by your negative emotions like anger, jealousy, desire. If you want to know about jealousy, I'll give you a teaching. I'm the expert. Okay. That's the first kind of obstacle. And it prevents you from reaching
nirvana.
Okay? It stops you from reaching nirvana. What's the definition of nirvana? Wait, Nick, say it by yourself. Yeah, say Nyunjit. Malupar. Pambe. Sosotango. Very good, perfect definition. Okay. It means remove all your negative emotions forever because you saw emptiness. That's the definition of nirvana. Okay. So, do you have to become a Buddha if you reach nirvana? No. Do you have to change your body? No. I mean, you could reach nirvana right now before I drink this cup of tea. And you would look the same. Probably you'd have a big smile. But like Bonnie or something. But physically you don't change. You can reach nirvana at 8 o'clock and at 8:15 you look the same. Basically, I mean, you don't go like that anymore. What's the second obstacle? Say shidip.
Shidip.
These are obstacles to enlightenment. They're called obstacles to knowledge. And it means your mind didn't expand to all places and all times yet. These are obstacles which block. They are veils which block you from seeing all times and all places. They're called shidu. Okay. Why are we talking about jinni? Why are we talking about these two obstacles? Great. He said, we're talking about the two obstacles, because Manjushri doesn't have them. And she said, and that's what made him soft. Okay, so he's telling you what the word, what's the Sanskrit for jump? Manju. Say
manju.
There's no J in Sanskrit. Okay, there's no such thing as manju. There's no such thing. Say manju.
Manju.
So the Sanskrit J, Sanskrit doesn't have a J. It's Z. Manju. Manju Gosha. Manju Shri. Okay? All that Manju Shri is mispronounced. Okay? Manju. Manju. This is soft. It means soft. Okay? Why is it soft? It doesn't have those two options. And those make you prickly. They make you like a cactus. Okay? He doesn't have them, so he's soft. He just shaved. Okay? I have to do that by the way. Okay. Alright. That's why he's manju. Now, we didn't reach what? What's left of his name?
Shri.
That nun, tell me what's left of his name. Shri. We have to explain the Shri. So here comes the Shri. So Niki Belvan Dembe Na Bel. Dembe Na Bel. He is Bel. He is glorious because he has finished the two collections. Okay? He's finished the two collections. So he's perfect. He's glorious. He's shining. You can think of Shri as shining. Okay, it means shining. Why is he shining? He finished the two collections. Okay. So you guys know, but I'll tell you again. When a person collects the karma which is going to make them a Buddha, we don't call it karma anymore. Okay? When a person makes the seeds called what? Pacha. To become a Buddha, we don't call that karma anymore. We call it sokni. Say sokni.
Sokni
means the two collections. Why? Karma is always bad. Karma is always bad. Good karma and bad karma are both
bad.
Why? Bad karma is bad because you hurt somebody, you make bad karma. Why is good karma bad?
It runs out.
It wears out. Thank you. Okay, because it wears out. The karma to have a nice dinner, is that a good karma or a bad karma? It's a bad good karma. Okay? It's a good karma. Why is it bad?
Because you want more.
Because you wear it out. And then you have to cook again, or you have to eat again. After 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, you start getting hungry. If you're Geshe Michael, you're hungry 10 minutes later. And you get hungry again. You see what I mean? So the karma that made a good dinner is good karma, but it must wear out. So that's called bad good karma. We call it sakche kinle. Say sakche.
Sakche.
Kinle.
Kinle.
Impure karma. Okay. The Yoga Sutra in the fourth chapter says, karma, shukla, akarshnam, yoginis, trividam, itarisham. In Sanskrit, right? Karma, shukla, akarshnam, yoginis, trividam, itarisham. Karma?
A-shukla.
What's the A mean?
Not.
Shukla means white. Okay. A-shukla means not white. And it's also a-krishna. Krishna. Not black. Okay. A-krishna. Krishna's called black because he's dark blue. And why they call him Krishna, I have no idea. It's calling, like calling somebody Rusinger, when his real name is Rusinger. Okay, so karma ashukla akarshna means, yoginis means four yogis. I think it's dative plural in Sanskrit. In endings. Yoginis means four yogis. They don't make white karma, and they don't make black karma, okay? It means they don't make dirty karma. And then Buddhas, when they do actions, I mean people who are creating their Buddha body and their Buddha mind do pure karma. And then we don't call it karma anymore, we call it collecting their body, collecting their new body. Here's an arm. Okay, good. So why do we call Manjushri Shri? He possesses the glory of those two new kinds of karma, which are pure karma, so we don't call them karma anymore, and they're called the two collections. What famous prayer expresses the two collections? Sunam Gitsal creates the body of a Buddha, Yeshe Gitsal creates the mind of a Buddha. Okay. These are the two collections of power, but we don't call them collections of karma. Right. That's why he's called Shri, Manju Shri. Okay. Now we have one more word, which is Kumari. What's Kumari? In Sanskrit. It means youth, it means young. Okay. In Tibetan, Kuma means a thief or a mugger. So Rinpoche used to tell me this story that when they first got to India, they were assigned a guy to teach them, English or something in the refugee camp. And this Indian man came in and stood up and he said, "My name is Mr. Kumar." And everyone's like, "Ah!" It's like saying, "I'm Mr. Robert." So the Sanskrit Kumar means young, youth, okay, Kumari. Why is Manjushri called the boy or the young man? Why does he bow down? The translator, not who's not bowing down here? Master Vasubandhu is not bowing down here. This is added to the text by the translator. Good. I bow down to Manjushri, but not to just any Manjushri. I bow down to the young one. Reminds me of Mr. Wulashu because he's so young and he's so smart. So it's kind of unusual. Okay. I have to work for 15 years. Anyway, Natsa is a very rare Tibetan word that means his. What's that word adjective used before age? His physical age or his. Chronological. Yeah, Natsa means chronological age, and it's as unusual as chronological age, okay, in Tibetan. Okay, because Na means on or if. So it's very weird. Natsu means his age is Chudu. Chu-tu. Chu-tu.
16.
You guys gotta learn cool Chinese thing. Chu is what?
10.
10. Tu?
6.
6. You can go. In China, you can just go. It means 16. Surfers also do that. People who surf. Anyway, this means 16. This means 10. So, Chuduk means 16 years old. He appears, when Manjushri appears, he appears as a 16-year-old. And that's a long story. It has to do with his chakras. Chuduk, Lumba means 16 years old. Lumba means old. Years old. Lumba means years old. Nyamjian means in that form, in that appearance. Yinbeina, therefore he's called Kumari. Shunyu, the young one. Manjushri in the younger form. Okay? So now there are many forms of Manjushri. And in this case we're bowing down to the one which is 16 years of age. Which is considered a peak of physical development in a human being. Okay? And it's slightly different for women. Slightly younger. They mature younger than men. Okay? Alright. De la chakta, you betcha. Okay, say de la.
De la.
Chakta.
Chakta.
More like a snake. Get it up. Get it up. Yeah. It's like that. Like a cobra. De la chakta. You betcha. Then you might knock his head off. By accident. I bow down to that's why his name is Manjushri. Okay, cool? We are going very slow. Okay. Here we go. I'm just going to go, maybe we'll go for another 15 minutes or something, because we have to do an ordination. It's quite a long ordination. And Jingmei always gets upset when I say that it takes longer to ordain a nun, because they have more rules. Because... because they are more naughty. 364 vows. The boys only have 253. Then she said, the extra vows are all about not hanging out with boys because there's so much trouble. Okay. What's the purpose of bowing down to Manjushri? Why does the translator bow down to Manjushri? Okay, that's the question posed by Chan Lama. Tenji Di, Munbi Ke Che Tar. Tenji Di means this classical commentary, meaning the Abhidhamma Kosha. Mun means in days gone by. Ke start dictionary entry. Ke Che is a totally difficult idiom. Pao Kasa Ke. Pao Cha La Che. BKAS BCAD. Ke is the instrumental of the word Ka. Ka means the mother utterance in Sanskrit. The first letter. In English, what's the first letter?
A.
B, C, D. A. Okay. But in Sanskrit, it's Ka. So Ka means the mother letter of all letters. It means like A. Okay. Ka means the mother letter of all letters. It's called Ka. And then it came to mean any word. It's called Ka. Any utterance from your throat is called Ka. And then it came to mean the word of a king. Okay. So when you translate it, that's Gyur, right? So what do we call the word of Lord Buddha? Kangyur. Got it? So Ka means the word of a king. The word, capital W, or of Jesus, or something like that. The word, okay? That's Ka. When you put the instrumental, it means with a Ka, with a command. Che means it was commanded. Jay means to, you know Jay from Dorje Chopa. Jinkanjin, right? What's the cut in Jinkanjin? Is there in Jinkanjin? Yeah.
How does it in Chinese?
The cut. But when you say Jinkanjin, it just means diamond center, right? There's no cut in that. Yeah. So the full word. Also, we say diamond center, but the full name is diamond cutter center. Diamond cutter center. So the word cut is Jinkan. How do you say it?
Duan.
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 Okay. I'll remember slightly. So chepa means to cut, right? This is another tense of that. Gei chepa means to cut with the word of the king. And it means to command, to make a command, or to make a rule by royal decree. It means that it was decreed by the king. What? Gei chepa mumbe deinu ki kongsu topa shepe che yumbeichu. The che at the end means the purpose of bowing down to Manjushri is that you should shepa, the reader should shepa, understand that this book is included, topa, into the body of literature, kongsu topa, called Nunma, the Abhidhamma. Abhidhamma. Dena is the son, is the Tibetan for, there's three of them in the canon. The whole Buddhist canon divides into three. Pitaka, yeah, basket. Then if there's three baskets, you call Tri, to say Tri, Pitaka. Tri Pitaka. Tri Pitaka. The three sections of all Buddhist literature. By the way, they are Sutra, Vinaya, and Abhidhamma. Each one of them relates to one of the three trainings. The Abhidharma Pitaka of all Buddhist teaching relates to Kongshin, and understanding emptiness, wisdom. So in order that we know that this book is contained in the Pitaka called Abhidharma, we bow down to Manjushri. Then the reader knows this book's about emptiness. Okay? The meaning of this book's subject is going to be Kongshin. Because he bowed down to Manjushri at the beginning. Give me like 10 more minutes, okay? And then we'll stop. Okay. And again, these 3 days is just a teaser. It's going to take thousands of days. We're just dipping our toe into the lake, okay? The ocean. So there are three sections to the actual body of the text. First one will be the required preliminaries for starting a text, a classical commentary. The second is called Shungi Dunlun, means the actual body of the text. And then we'll have the Shepa Tarchen Betsu, the concluding sections. What are called in... How many was that? Oh, okay. Come on. The back matter. The back matter. It's not called a front. No, it's just all the stuff in the back of the book. It's called Tarchimba means the sections relating to the conclusion of the explanation. Tarchimba. My Lama's name was Mosan Tarchimba. Tarchimba, his name was when. Chin Ta means the edge of something. Ta means to the edge. And Tarchin means to the edge. In the Xinjing, Bolomita. Bolomita. Ita means to go to the edge. Okay. Dambula Chepa Jepa. Sambar Tam Chawa. Ngumbe Tsendan. Tsambe Gopa Shepa Shi. Okay. Dambula means the first of them, which means all the sections that relate to starting the book, okay? There's four parts of that. There are four traditional parts to starting a book. Here's the first one is, Chepa Jepa means you have some high poetry about some high being, and you make an offering of praise. Chepa Jepa means an offering of praise to some high being, You say some beautiful words to some high being. It's the first part of every classical book from India. Every book from India is Jing. You call it Jing, right? Whether it's a sutra or a shastra, in Chinese it's called Jing, right? Like I Jing or Xin Jing. Okay. Then Sambhadam Chawa means, I told you yesterday. Because we finished it for this book, but we didn't finish it for the Abhidhamma Krishna. Dham Chawa. Yeah, he promises to write the book. He makes the promise to write the book. And he says, I will finish or I will die. But I will finish. Okay. We finished Choninama's Sambhad Dham Chawa, but we didn't get to Master Vasubandhu's Sambhad Dham Chawa. Okay. We still have to cover Master Vasubandhu's promise to write the book. Sampadamchawa. Then Mumbai Tsenden means Master Vasubandhu will tell you why he called this book Abhidhamma Krishna. Master Vasubandhu, he goes into a long explanation of why it's called Abhidhamma Krishna. So that's coming. And then the fourth part, Sampe Gopa, say Guso, Chushi. Guso, Chushi. Very, very beautiful teaching in Buddhism. Very, very beautiful teaching. Let's see if I can remember it off the top of my head. Probably not. It means, in a Buddhist person, whether you're from Tel Aviv or Beijing, don't waste your time on other books. Okay. If that book can get you enlightened, then read it. If it can't, don't waste your time. Unless you're overworked and you need to read a science fiction book. It means there must be an ultimate goal to the book, or it's not worth a Buddhist person's time. That book, that's why I don't read magazines, I don't read newspapers, I don't watch TV shows. And I don't know what they say, and I will never know. Okay? I don't have time. If you ask me, do I want to spend half an hour looking at or thinking about or talking about one of those, I'm not interested. I want a book that has those four qualities. It's called Nigi Den, means there must be an ultimate purpose to this book, which is what? Get enlightened so you can help people on countless planets. If the book can teach me that, I will read it. You know, if the TV show or the newspaper can teach me that, I will read it. Otherwise, I don't want to read it, I don't want to look at it, and I don't want to hear about it. I'm just not interested. I don't have time. I really don't have time. If the newspaper said something about reaching the ultimate goal, then talk to me about the newspaper. But that's the only reason I won't talk about the newspaper. Okay? So one is, does it have an ultimate goal? Does the book have an ultimate goal, reaching enlightenment? Does it have a temporal goal or a provisional goal? Okay. What would be the provisional goal of this book? The goal that gets you to the ultimate goal? Learning Abhidharma. Okay. So the goal of this book is that you learn about Abhidharma or wisdom. Okay. And that will get me to the ultimate goal. So that's what we call the ultimate goal and the provisional goal, or the, what do you call it? Temporary or short-term goal. Long-term goal, short-term goal. Short-term goal is learn Abhidhamma. Why didn't you write, you know, what's the short-term goal? Learn Abhidhamma. Why? To reach the long-term goal, which is enlightenment. Okay? To get to the short-term goal, you need a book. Okay. You need a book, you need a text, you need someone to write a book. Okay. So these are the three qualities of a Buddhist book. There must be a text which is relevant to reaching a temporary goal, which is relevant to reaching an ultimate goal. And what's the fourth one? There must be a connection. There must be a connection between these three. Okay. Like Mr. Wu Laoshi was teaching us about borders between the four action, seeds, and mind. I forget the word. And so there must be a connection between these three. If this book can teach me Abhidharma, and that will take me to enlightenment, then I will read this book. If there's a connection between those three, I will read the book. Okay. Got it? That's a good place to stop, I think. Okay? So say, Gursa.
Gursa.
Chushi.
Chushi.
Gursa.
Gursa.
Chushi.
Chushi.
Good is one of them. It's the temporary goal. Okay, Nekakikoku means temporary goal. Ningu means ultimate goal. Jeja means subject matter. And then Jawa means the connection between these three. And those are the Gursa Chushi. These are the four qualities of a piece of literature or writing. If it has those four, open it. If it doesn't have those four, let it go, because you don't have time. You don't have time to read all those newspapers. You don't have time to read all those magazines. You just don't have time. It doesn't matter what they say. Good or bad, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter for you. You're going to die. If you're going to die, don't waste your time on those things. Read something which is going to help you. Okay? A Buddhist doesn't, ideally, we don't read anything that doesn't have those four qualities. And people give me books all the time, and I send them to Goodwill. Probably I should just give you the address of the Goodwill. I've got 4,600 texts from India, and I have 200,000 Tibetan commentaries. I don't need a book about last year's psychology. Sorry. Doesn't mean we shouldn't study last year's psychology. It doesn't mean that if it would help somebody, you can read it. Okay, you can study it. That's okay. If it will help somebody, you can read it. If you're in a three-year retreat and you're in your brain period and your mind is too, what did Will say? Hot and pressured. And you have to read a science fiction book, or romances are very good. Read one. And that's just to cool down the reactor. Okay? It's just for entertainment, you know. Relaxation is a crucial part of the Buddhist path. Okay? Relaxing properly is a crucial part of the Buddhist path. When you reach Tantra, there will be a message in the romance novel or the movie. Okay? When you reach Tantra, you can read those books and look for Manjushri in the newspaper. Okay? Cool? So we have finished dipping your toe. It's like going to the edge of the ocean in Venice Beach. You know how there's a wet part of the sand? You just got your little toe just got on the wet part of the sand. We have to go to Tokyo. Or Beijing, or Xiamen. Okay? We have to swim, like, I don't know, 5,000 miles. We just touched the edge of the ocean, okay, in these 3 days. Okay? But it's a great start, and it's a very good karma to hear the beginning of the Abhidhamma Kosha. It's a very sweet karma that was created by the three-year retreat. It's created by everybody here that we got to hear the first part of the Abhidhamma.